horizon. It's boring as shit.
Hello, everyone. This is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube, and this is Season 4. Follow Goddamn GameCube on social for updates on the show, and subscribe to us on YouTube for bonus video content. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Riley are your hosts today. And today we are going to be talking about Horizon Forbidden West. I just want to make sure the audience knows I do think this is the worst game I played this year in 2022. I do think this game, I described it in a messenger chat with you as one of the most heinous gaming experiences I've had in quite some time.
Oh, wow. I mean, as far as this season goes, because so this wasn't a new game, but I think the most negative we've been recently was Deadly Premonition 2. And it was up there. Yeah, it was pretty close.
There's going to be a lot of disparagement in this episode. So I guess full spoiler warning here. We don't like it at all.
I want to be clear that, you know, even if you did like it, I think you'll find our critiques fair, at least, you know, so it might be worth listening to.
Like I said before, we are going to be as professional as possible, but keep in mind, we don't like it. So anyway, let's, Riley, keep us on track. Let's do this.
Yes.
Go for it.
So Horizon Forbidden West, developed by Guerrilla Games like last time, and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for PS4 and PS5. In 2022, this year, this was one of the games for this season where it's like I was really committed to covering a lot of these PS4 classics, but both of these I had a lot of like, oh, I really got to rile myself up for this one. You know what
you
I mean?
You just can't get through it, right?
Well, in terms of knowing it's on the schedule and being like, all right, because like the first one I liked well enough.
I want to start you off with this. With one of the strangest things like for me to comprehend in my brain is that I kind of like the first one. This and I absolutely despise this game, but they are very similar. Yeah. So I don't understand. We're going to break down why that is.
Why exactly? Yeah, I don't know. It's not that different. So Aloy returns from the first game and ventures forth into the Forbidden West, mentioned a couple times in the previous game, to find the solution to a plague that devours all it touches. Did they mention this in the previous?
That's
one?
A problem. I think my problem with the game right off the bat is I don't think they mentioned any sort of like diseased plant life that would disease all other plant life in the first game. I don't think it's in there.
I forget. I mean, if they did, I'm sorry, but I don't think it was impressed upon me at all.
No.
I think it looks pretty similar to the first game, maybe a tiny bit more polished. You had a specific complaint you'd like to bring up about some outfits.
Yeah. So right off the bat, I had so many problems with this game. Something that it struck me funny. I hope other people think this is funny. I was, you know, you encounter like various tribes or people from different places in this game.
Yeah.
And I said this to you guys in a private chat. All of these tribes look fake. Like it looks like every character is dressing up for their middle school play.
Yeah.
And, you know, the names of their tribes are, like, funny. I don't know. It's really weird. Their outfits look strange and way too colorful and odd. And I don't know, man. I feel like they come up to you and they say stuff like, you know, my name is, like, you know, I don't know, Bleep Bleep. And I'm from, like, the Oogie Boogie tribe. I'm not exaggerating that much.
No.
Like, it's not that different.
No, but in terms of, like, the outfits, yeah, there's a really stupid-looking one in particular that's very useful, unfortunately. You got like a big like hat like made out of like wicker or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not a lot of like appealing. Like one of the best, you know, we talked about the Spider-Man games recently. So many fun outfits to scroll through. You gotta have like some flair. I mean, I don't know. That's the cosmetics are a big part of games for me.
Yeah.
You know, you got your fashion souls.
But another weird part about this game is like this was a big budget game and it a part of the marketing was how good it looks. And I don't think this game looks bad. It's very colorful. It is very in your face and vibrant. I just think the direction of the visuals is poor.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Or I guess the taste is something you can't make up, I guess.
Yeah. Did you play it on PS4?
I played this on PS5.
Okay. So I played it on PS4. So I'm curious about it, if our experiences will totally align here. Something I really don't like is that when you unlock a new campfire, it doesn't glow green anymore. Like, I was a big kind of like, when you're looking at your map in the previous game,
yep,
you're understanding where your checkpoints are, what needs to be unlocked. Very simple choice that they
omitted,
you know, obliterated for some reason. And there's kind of like a fog of war now across the map to indicate where you've explored. In terms of looks, though, we talked a lot very positively about the robots last time. Any new ones that you like the look of?
I want to say something funny off the bat. They're called the machines in this game, but I feel like we just call them robots.
Oh, who gives a fuck?
Who cares? So I thought one of the there were some cool ones, right? Like there's like an elephant and like a big snake.
Yeah,
right?
The cobras are like one of the first ones. I thought that was awesome. Gigantic ones. The elephants are very kind of Lord of the Ringsy in
very cool
implementation. I did think it was kind of weird because you start to, I don't have any specific examples off the back, but you see ones that are, they added more. I didn't even touch upon it last time. There's actually a couple animals you can hunt in these games, and there are some that are I assumed, maybe naively, that the machines were all representative of animals that went extinct. Like they were being replicated, and you start to see some parallels here with some of them. I thought was kind of odd.
Well, I feel like it was just an oversight, right? Where maybe that was the intention, that these machines have replaced animal habitats, but they just didn't think about that hard enough.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And there is also a giant bat, which reminds me of
Resident Evil Zero.
Yeah.
Ugh, the worst, one of the worst parts of the game.
Anyway, okay, so how do you feel about the voice acting in this game?
It's, I say this word too much, but it's fine. I think a problem with Horizon, both of them, I think the actors are doing the best they can with what they're given. I think these games have big problems with high level issues, direction issues, overarching themes. The big brain ideas, I think, are the problems with this game.
Yeah,
the actors are fine.
Yeah. Ashley Birch and Lance Reddick return. You also got some minor celebrities. Well, I consider Angela Bassett is probably a major celebrity, but Carrie Ann Moss of The Matrix lends her voice into this one. Fine performances all around. And I think the rest of the cast is, as you say, just doing the best with what they have. In terms of gameplay, let's grill it up.
Oh no.
feels like Aloy controls maybe a tiny bit smoother than last time.
Do you know what I can't stand in this game? Oh, I can't believe I didn't bring this up in the first one. Do you know what bothers the fuck out of me in these games? And I don't say that very often. They do this thing where, you know, typically in your over-the-shoulder third-person games, your character is aligned to the left side, and the camera goes over your right side.
Yeah.
In both of these fucking games, your character can get moved to the other side, so the camera is going over your other shoulder, and it bothers the fuck out of me.
See, you know, I'm revisiting Death Stranding right now, and there's actually a button to switch which you prefer.
Yes, and so in Ghost... I can't believe we're bringing this up. In Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, you can do the same thing.
Yeah, wow. Forgot about that game.
I guess I don't have a problem with you being able to switch the angle, but it should be your choice.
Your choice, yeah.
Because it's very disorienting when I feel like all of my aiming is now shifted to the other side.
Yeah.
I don't like it at
all. Yeah, it's pretty weird. I didn't think about it that way.
I hate it, man.
That's kind of a weirdo choice there. I felt like maybe also that the combat in general, can we dig into it?
Sure. One of my biggest grievances with this game, beyond everything, is that they did not make any improvements to spear combat at all.
No.
It's still broken as fuck.
Yeah.
And sure, fine. Like, yeah, they put some combos in the upgrade menus. Like, fine, whatever. But, like, there still is not a precise lock-on system. It's still light and heavy attacks. The knocking monsters over... machines, who cares? Knocking over machines and getting a critical strike is still broken.
Yeah.
And what's even worse, the animation for critical striking something is still broken, where sometimes your spear will just not hit them at all. I can't believe this, man.
Yeah.
Like, beyond so many grievances we're going to air with this game, they did not improve a fucking thing.
Well, I remember there was like a minor controversy when this was coming out about how they reused the animation for when she jumps off a vantage point or whatever. Yeah. I don't really care about that. Like, that happens all the time. But stuff like this where it was incorrect to begin with.
Yeah. I don't know. So you and I align on this. Like, games are very expensive to make. Games are very hard to make. Yeah. I am not offended if there's some reuse of objects, animation, stuff that would take time and resources to redo.
When it was fine the first time.
Right, when it's fine. But when it was broken the first time, you shouldn't fix it.
Especially considering, I mean, I think the first game sold pretty well, right?
Yes.
I don't know. So it was
definitely 20 million units.
Jeez, so this came out 5 years later, you know, I don't know. It's, I felt like the combat in general, like the balance, we talked a lot about the math in the first game. I think it was, like, even worse in this game.
Yeah, it feels, a lot of enemies feel very grindy and bossy.
I felt like I was in general trying to avoid them as much as possible.
Rather than engaging them,
which I think is, like, the point. I put like everything into stealth right off the bat just so I could get around them. I felt like it was somewhat of an issue in the first game, but I felt like I was experiencing a lot more prevalent in this one. When you attack a machine, right, you probably won't be able to one-shot it.
Yeah.
Probably. At least, even on the higher, like the exploding spears and stuff, that at least takes a couple, right?
Yep.
And you really, when they haven't detected you yet, you get one chance to really make it count, right? When they get attacked, they typically see you right away. They respond by charging right at you. You can maybe squeeze off another shot before they're right in your face, right? With your bow or whatever, you know, you're choosing. But once they're at close range, all those types of weapons aren't really viable.
Yep.
So you can either run away, trying to keep them at a distance. Good luck, because they all run faster than you.
Yep.
Or engage them with your spear, which, as you say, is still incredibly sloppy and unsatisfying.
It's broken. Yep.
I put a lot of my points into not only stealth, I vainly melee combat, hoping it would, I mean, you know, 10% extra, whatever, little skills here, there. Maybe I should have put more into traps. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not a big trap guy in games.
I want to get
in there, but maybe that's my failure. I feel like most of the weapons you can unlock on the skill trees this time have to do with all these new systems they implemented, like the weapon stamina.
Yeah, there's like weapon stamina and ultimate skills.
Valor,
and
special moves. I felt like, you know, just kind of unnecessary complications. Like, special moves in general are really like, you're using them so infrequently because you, like in any game where you have to build up a meter to use it, you can kind of like get, you generate faster, or whenever you get hit your weapon stamina increases, stuff like that. But in terms of them all together, like your gameplay experience, special moves are generally like your rarest thing, so this type of stuff doesn't really impress me. I also felt like some of them were on the wrong skill trees.
Yeah, there are some like offensive abilities that are in stealth trees.
Yeah,
or
like
in
the
gathering
electric shockwave. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what is going on?
Because there's one that's cool where it basically gives you like the stalker camo, and I was like, oh, this is awesome, and I used that like the whole game. But very very odd choice. And it's also frustrating to me. I hate this in any game where you can see later skills. You can see exactly what you can do, but it's not going to tell you how many skill points it'll cost.
You
can't really plan.
Right, sure. So I guess what you're saying is, and I tend to agree, I want to be able to plan out my playthrough. Please let me see it.
Yeah.
Or don't let me see it at all.
Right.
Like,
either or.
Yeah, please.
I felt like I was buying stuff just to unlock later things sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that never feels great, but at least if you can see down the line what you save up points rather than putting them into unnecessary skills. I don't know. I'd prefer that. I do find that the menus are generally slightly clearer and easier to navigate than the last time. For instance, you can now compare the max stats of your gear, which is helpful. And I'm not sure if this is a Sony or PlayStation-wide effort at this point, but there are a lot of good accessibility and quality of life convenience upgrades, like skipping the animation to pick the plants. And as well as an unlimited stash this time, like our favorite game, Deadly Premonition 1. At a certain point, though, I do want to call. I mean, so I gave the crafting some shit last time. I'm gonna give it even more shit right now.
Yeah.
At a certain point, like you're kind of, all this is busy work, right? And they're making the busy work easier, and it defeats the purpose of having the busy work there to begin with. like crafting ammunition in both games. The game would likely be a lot more fun if you just simplified the fraction. You know, 2/4 is 1/2.
Right.
Like, don't make work for me. Just do it. Like, just be able to find ammo. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's slowing you down. It's a bummer, man. Food is also in the game. It provides temporary buffs, but I only mess around with it like once or twice.
Yep.
I just like it's we
it's another Monster Hunter thing.
Yeah. It's just. It's one more system that I felt like we were at capacity last time.
Yeah,
like it was just enough. What did you think of all the new tools and traversal options in this game?
I thought the Breath of the Wild thing was fine, where like you're gliding around.
That's what I thought it was from.
And it is, right?
The gliding. Well, it was originally Wind Waker with the leaf.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's
but
right.
I think it was popularized in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, it must be.
And in ripoff territory, there's also those red crystals that you blow up like God of War, the original 2018 with the electricity. I was like, wait a second, like there's too much copying homework in these games, man. Yeah. It's too close. Quests can now be put on hold, but they don't read this way if you're missing the right tools. So I do like this aspect of the game where it's a little Metroidvania-ish, where you can only get into certain areas if you have certain tools, right?
Yep.
The pull caster is the first one. It can be used to open vents and pull boxes. However, the command to bring it up felt very clunky to me. I kept forgetting how to do it.
Yes.
It was like L2 and triangle.
Yep.
And like none of the other objects or tools in the game use that kind of...
Yep. Yeah, it's like when you pull L2, the face buttons change. It's one of those. So they're just a little bit too many. There are too many buttons.
Yeah, too much stuff. And you can also grapple to specific points with it. But it never felt like good to me. It never felt like that Batman grapple, you know? It's like,
Well, a lot of platforming these days is pretty much done for you.
Right.
So.
Right. I don't know. It just didn't feel good. I think swimming could have been worse, but it definitely could have been better.
I at least thought with swimming there was a decent amount of exploration.
Yeah, that was at least pretty interesting. You get the Phantom Menace breathing apparatus at one point. You can go down into the underwater areas. Later in the game, spoiler, you gain the ability to fly freely over the map on the Sunwing. It's kind of the same as the other mounts in these games where I wish it was like faster or more fun. But in terms of explore, I don't know if you encountered this at all. I actually got some loading screens in the overworld.
Not really.
Okay.
It was so probably a PS5 upgrade is the lack of, it's no
just
loading
like,
screens.
Wait, did I really just hit a loading screen? And I was like, I would really love the ability to fly, like have a Spider-Man kind of level of traversal where it's really fast at the end and you can just kind of dart around finishing up your side quests.
It would have felt cooler if you could do it for more than 30 minutes.
It's almost at the end.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yep. I encountered two different invisible wall warnings in this game.
Your screenshots in our messenger chat were so funny.
Like cannot enter this area. Like, oh, great.
Great. I'm so immersed in this experience. Thank you.
I love remember. It's like Fallout 4 all over again.
Thank you for reminding me I'm playing a game.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my God. Some of the more remote corners of the map, too, feel like maybe they were not fully tested to me. Or maybe partially procedurally generated. Like at one point, I sent you a screenshot of a healing item. One of the berries, they were inaccessible because they were growing through rocks.
Yep.
It's like, I don't know how much you experienced in this respect, but I felt like I was discouraged from like exploring.
Yeah, because like what broken shit or unfinished shit am I going to run into?
I got stuck at one point. I had to hop my way out of a fucking bush. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know, man. I think it's really kind of... I mean, the game is padded to shit.
Yeah.
There's a ton of ruins, cauldrons, scavenger missions, mini games that I didn't fuck around with.
Radio quest, bandit camps, that sort of shit.
I felt like when your reach exceeds your grasp with these open world games, like the level of... you're sacrificing the detail and how well polished each little area is. You know
well, you also
I mean?
Sacrifice immediacy with the more stuff you put in.
Like, exactly. Yep. Like how important is this plague that's devouring the landscape, right? When I was done with the story, my completion percentage was only 38%.
That dude, so we were talking about this earlier. So you finished the story and that's only a third of the game. To me, that's bad. Right. No, I'm not saying what you did is bad. I just think there's too much bloated shit.
Yeah. So in the beginning, I did a lot more side quests. So that was at least, so it's probably, the main story is probably 30 to 33%, right? So, I mean, it's tough because I haven't in the past held other games to the same standard, but seeing it laid out like that really makes me feel like the optional content should be more of a supplement.
Well, also, like, so much of the optional content is like this very generic Ubisoft open world gaming stuff. Whether it's, you know, Gathering Quest, Radio Quest, like, oh my God, Bandit Camps, this kind of stuff where, oh my God, like, so 65% of the game is this generic junk?
Dude, gray sludge.
Come on.
And so I think I was talking to somebody about this sort of the way that to approach this game in terms of, I feel like there are some games out there, a lot of AAA games, which are kind of meant to be done if you're burnt out from work and you're just kind of like, let me rip, I want to like turn my brain off. And this, I felt like it wasn't even that, because you do have to put some thought into each encounter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if the game handled its content either like smarter or dumber, I think it would be better. You know, like if it was more if it was just kind of the more recent Tomb Raiders,
yeah,
I think are that kind of, or Uncharted, where you have a gun, like just blast away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's a lot more fun if you just kind of admit what you're going for.
And dude, and the first Tomb Raider reboot is good. Like, I
thought it was fine.
Yeah.
It's an example here in terms of, so there's a lot of like optional puzzles and little ruins to explore and stuff. There was one point where I went into a ruin and there's like a lot of like codes to doors you need to find on notepads and stuff. The code prompt is a bunch of symbols, the at symbol, the hash mark, the ampersand and an exclamation point. I thought this was a clever kind of like, if you had held down the shift key, I thought it was going to be 2371,
which
I was like, oh, cool. That's so cool. All right. Feel smart for figuring it out. That's not what it is.
Nope. They're just using symbols.
Just mashing keys.
Dude.
Oh my God. Okay. So that's kind of the basic structure of the adjustments they've made to presentation and gameplay. Are you ready, sir, to get into the story of Horizon Forbidden West?
Are you guys ready for this dog shit?
Okay. So, Greg, how did you think about the way this game started?
I knew that. I think I put this in our messenger chat.
I
knew that right off the bat, I was in for a heinous, fucking awful experience. The first, I'm telling you, man, the first thing they have you do, you're running around with Aloy and one of your allies, and he says to you, we should gather some herbs for healing. I said, oh, fuck me.
Uh-oh.
I said, oh, no. Like, don't do that. Dude, that's the first thing they have you do is a gamey game thing.
Yeah.
Don't do this to me.
Yeah, it's not great. But the whole intro is like 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it really should have been like, I think the perfect sequels are, it's not only, I'm not saying you should cater to people who've never played the first one, but in terms of give us like a little microcosm of what's the Horizon experience, right? Just a nice tiny little sliver, 20, 30 minutes, and then you open up the main world.
Dude,
right?
this linear segment is so fucking long.
It's
and
huge.
It's so boring.
It's enormous. So yeah. It's Aloy and the guy Varl from the previous game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really like it's just so inelegant. It feels like, you know, I don't know. It should be more inviting. You know,
yeah.
like laying out like a nice assortment of samples for like, oh, you can this here's some stuff that you if you like what you see, you might want to keep playing, you know.
Right.
Whereas in this, it's very like handing you a stack of homework on the first day of. All right. Well, here's what you're going to have to be doing. Buckle up because there's going to be a lot more of this.
Dude, I can't believe the first line of the gameplay is we need to collect some herbs.
Some berries.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, is it berry? I don't care.
Either are.
I don't care. I don't care. And you don't even go to the Forbidden West. They just bring you there. Dude, I don't know what they were thinking with this intro, but come on.
I thought it was all this very weird and truncated how you return to Meridian and you catch up with all your friends from the previous game who survived. I think it might feel more impactful if you play the first game 5 years ago, but for me, I played it a couple months ago, so I'm like, nothing new here. All my buddies are still there. And you don't even really get the opening of that first. There's kind of another bottleneck here where it's a small map. And this area chain scrape, at least we talked shit about Meridian last time. I felt like it did feel a little lived in.
Yeah.
But they kind of like took notes from Disco Elysium with just like a union dispute you have to resolve.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Ryzen game. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
So funny. Okay. So there's you meet a couple new tribes in this game. There's a rebel faction of a new tribe headed by Regala, voiced by the great actress Angela Bassett, interrupts. There's a prisoner exchange between I think it's the Tanakh and the Karja, and Aloy waits until everyone is already dead to jump into the fight.
This was such a weird scene.
Okay, so you felt the same way, right?
And you're talking about like when everyone's getting fucking eviscerated,
and she's just like, "Oh, I'm like, wait, she should be like, you make her feel heroic.
Yeah,
like she should be like Aragorn jumping down off the thing and
taking
charge, right?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Okay, so. I thought that was really weird and notable.
It is really weird.
Moreover, Aloy destroys Hades very early on, which is an unexpected story beat. I wasn't like necessarily opposed to this because I was kind of rolling my eyes at the post credits last time. It's like, oh, okay, so that's dealt with. I wonder what direction the story will take at this point.
A little bit of an ironic moment where it's dealt with so early.
Yes. And I wanted to, you probably don't know about this, but I had to double check the IMDb cast for this game. Hades is voiced by an actor called Anthony Ingruber. And this guy, his whole deal was how much he looks and sounds like Harrison Ford. And he's done a lot of like Han Solo impressions on YouTube and stuff. And he really wanted to play the young Han Solo, and they just didn't give it to him.
Oh, sure.
It's just like, I was like, wait, why do I know that name? And I was like, oh, that's the fucking Han Solo guy.
It's this guy.
He's in this now. All right. Well, at least he's getting work, right?
I'm sorry it was this one.
Right, exactly. Okay, so a lot of weird stuff happens next. Aloy encounters another clone of herself, which is very funny because they call this character Beta.
Yep.
She's the Beta unit. And some more advanced humans appear that appear to be from outer space.
The Jeff Bezos crew?
The Jeff Bezos crew. they find her in one of these little temples. She tries to hide behind a tiny strut about 15 seconds after she's already been spotted.
What I don't mean to interrupt your flow here, but these are the worst fucking characters ever, right? Like, yeah. This was the stupidest thing I've seen in a while.
I think this was So I think the idea that there would be some very affluent people who leave Earth when it goes to shit and develop completely separately from the people who got left behind is interesting in concept.
Yeah, sure.
It's believable. It could happen. It probably will happen. I think that's why it looks like Jeff Bezos. But they are very like anime Power Rangers. Just a very OP like the Didact in Halo with all the telekinesis and flying around and impenetrable shields. And I was like, did we need this? Like, I thought we had enough.
It's like, too goofy. Like how like elite science fiction warriors they are.
Yeah,
it's really odd.
It's kind of reminiscent of the Superman bad guys a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the other aliens. But they. Well,
do you think it would have like made more sense if you had these super rich people who left Earth and came back, but they were more like aloof and nonviolent rather than them just being destructive and like all powerful? Isn't that weird?
I think if anything, it would have made more sense if they were weak and they made like their machines do all the work for
right,
them.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah. So you have a little boss battle here with one of them. You obviously lose. You have to run away. I think if anything, this should have been the first scene of the game.
Wow.
Right?
Interesting. Like,
cut out all that other bullshit, you know, because just set here's the premise. Aloy takes one on the chin. She's got to run away.
Yep.
There's a really weird, like, oh my God, there's another me,
yep.
You know, that kind of thing. Like, holy shit. And so that, yeah, it kind of throws you a curveball, I guess, early on. I think it was an interesting concept. It just keeps getting worse as you...
It just gets funnier as it goes on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so Aloy believes they were responsible for remotely activating Hades so they can terraform Earth and reclaim it, I guess. So that's kind of the direction we're headed in for a while. You meet a new tribe called the Utaru people. A member of their tribe called Zo leads Aloy to a base of operations where they plan to rebuild sort of the system Gaia was part of Zero Dawn, I believe, to prevent this blight from taking over and infecting the
countryside. This blight that has appeared out of nowhere that was never mentioned before in the previous game.
Right. Yeah. I do like the basic structure of the game. I'm a big sucker for where you have to recover three of her different subsystems from different parts of the map. You can go in any order.
Any order you want.
They all have a unique tool associated with them that opens up, you know, optional areas, which I didn't explore because I was afraid the game was going to bug out.
Yep.
So I like the structure of this a lot. It's just that the execution is... it's like going after like the fire medallion, the forest temple, fire temple, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like the diversity, right? This was probably like the most engaged I ever was. At a certain point, Aloy recruits Beta, who expresses apprehension about their plan. She thinks they're way too far behind to fight the Jeff Bezos people. I have a prompt for you here.
Okay.
In terms of these tools that open up the map, kind of discourages exploration until you're almost done with the game or have finished it all together. How do you feel about this in games in general?
So I guess what you're saying is you gain a new tool in one of the three areas you have to go to. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in general in games, like I find myself not as willing to explore if I know it's like, why bother? Like, I probably don't have what I need to get in there anyway.
I'll just come back
once the game is over or almost over.
I think that's a complicated prompt. Because we've seen games approach this differently. Like Breath of the Wild, you can go everywhere at the start, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you can approach a game that way. Or another Zelda game did this, A Link Between Worlds. Hey, you can buy every item at the start of the game, go for it.
Right.
Which is... that's cool, but there's also the other mindset where you slowly are unlocking the things through the gaining of tools through the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I think it's a difficult balance. I'm not really sure.
Because I like the little dopamine burst you get from, oh, I have this item now, but fuck, I have to go all the way back there.
You know what it is? I think you slowly getting the tools and slowly unlocking, I do think that's the right way to go. Yeah. Zelda has done it very successfully through dungeon items.
Yeah.
It's a huge Metroidvania thing. It really depends how you structure your open world and how far back do you make someone go? Like, how much backtracking is there?
Yeah, how accessible is it? You know?
Right. You know, it could just come down to, we're not going to go on this tangent for too long, but it could come down to really precisely, how did you design your level? Do I have to walk by that thing I couldn't do before as a part of the main story? So I'm being brought there anyway.
Right.
Is it more convenient? It's hard. Yeah. Hard to balance, right?
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yep.
Yeah. Typical problem here on goddamn GameCube. okay. So I have another story complaint here.
Oh, please.
In order to access the Aether, which is part of Gaia's substructure, Aloy must assist the Tanakh with their traditional competition called the Kalrut that their Sky Clan refuses to attend. In order to persuade the Sky Clan to attend the ceremony, Aloy destroys this big wall in front of their defenses.
She like commits an act of terrorism. Right?
She's trying to convince them they're not safe. And my analogy here is, this is like, these games don't understand human psychology at all. This is like asking a local business to participate in like a community fundraiser, and when they say no, you start throwing rocks through their window.
Yeah. You essentially threaten these people and literally commit an act of terror to get them to join you.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
Well, she's like shooting it with siege weapons.
Dude, you like literally shoot at it with like a fucking cannon.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't think this was thought through.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so the competition proceeds, but is interrupted by the rebel leader, Regala, who is soundly defeated and vows to come back with everything she has. Why didn't she show up with everything she had to begin with?
I don't know. Another weird part of this story, right?
As we later learn, now would have been the time to do it.
Yeah.
She does it later, and it's a terrible idea.
Okay. Yep.
In pursuit of Demeter, which is another one of the Greek squares, Aloy unlocks the ability to trim back the metal flower's vines with her spear and encounters the Quen, who I mistakenly thought were allied with the future humans. They are from a different part of the world, I believe. They're futuristic. They attack her. And that's about their involvement. I think you meet one of their tribe who helps you out later on. Probably the coolest part of the game is when you breathe underwater and you have to dive down into Las Vegas.
Yeah,
right?
It's actually one of the more like visually interesting moments too.
It's all like buried underwater in some type of a geodesic dome.
Yep.
Because you have to find Poseidon, which is obviously governing like the water level and stuff. I think that was definitely the most exciting because it's like, yeah, I don't know. You're playing with post-apocalyptic America. Have a little more fun with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know?
They do a little Fallout New Vegas here where like Vegas is underneath the sand of the desert. Makes sense. And it's also in this weird like mine that's filled with water.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
It felt, there's some underwater machines. It's like,
especially when you solve it and some of the lights of Vegas light up and shit too.
Yeah, it's kind of
interesting.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. So we're going to talk about the naming conventions in this series later, but there was actually kind of a funny one here called the CEO. Do you remember this?
Go ahead.
It's basically like the CEO.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that's how it's evolved over time. So Aloy has to assist this character named the CEO and his compatriots into exploring this tomb run by. So basically there's a couple characters in the past who you read and you watch holograms about, and this character Ted Farrow is sort of the antagonist. He's responsible for corrupting Elizabeth's research, turning the machines into monsters to begin with. So you go to where he was buried in this tomb called Thebes to recover his security clearance.
Is this the guy who makes you change your clothes? Is this
yes?
This? Oh my fuck! This was so weird.
Well, okay, so I didn't get that at all because I didn't feel like Aloy was somebody who would go along with that.
It's odd. You just put a spear into him and say no. Right.
Right. Or
you
anything, just not anything. Do it. I mean, it's weird. I can't decide whether, you know, is the guy who you are looking for, Ted Farrow, his last name is Farrow, so you're going into his tomb.
It's,
I can't decide if that's clever or awful.
This game doesn't have any credit at all for me to think that's clever.
No. So you go down there, you have to change your clothes so you look like Elizabeth. The CEO himself, I'm sure this was on purpose, but it's really hard to look at. He is a ridiculous character design, the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life.
He's clearly like a false prophet sort of guy, and he's jacked up his ego and everyone loves him.
Yeah, but his hair is like, it's like a curly like mess. I sent it to you guys. I was just like, just fuck my shit up.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's an odd guy. He dies in hilarious fashion when the bricks fall on him.
Yeah, it's great.
Tomb. It's he got rid of that guy. So so basically you needed a couple of these subsystems to be strong enough to capture Hephaestus, which is from the Yosemite DLC from the previous game. Okay, we're getting into Greg's gripes here. Your friend Varl is killed here, and Beta is recaptured by the future humans Far Zenith. So Greg, Varl dies here. Why don't you share some of your thoughts about Varl's funeral? And I think there was something about the quest line here involving a choir that I missed completely. So why don't you tell us all about it?
Yeah, thanks. What they tried to do here, they tried to have Varl's funeral be like very like emotional and gripping. They're really going for it.
Yeah, he's a guy from the first game, so you may feel attached. Yeah,
like, you know, they stab your guy dies. Like, they want to give him his moment. So there's this really like genuine moment that they fuck it up. Where Zoe is at the essentially the grave of Varl with Aloy, and Zoe says she's gonna like sing a funeral song or like what would that be called, an elegy?
Yeah.
And this really weird thing happens, and this rant has entirely to do with the music direction and the production of this game. I have never seen this happen, by the way. I have played hundreds, if not thousands, of games in my life. I have never seen this. So Zoe sings the song in game. It's clearly the voice actor doing it diegetically at the grave.
Yeah.
But what starts happening is that the fully produced symphonic soundtrack, the backing track, starts playing along with her. And I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong where the backing track is either in a different key than what she started in,
like, or a different song altogether.
Yes, or it was not coordinated together. Yeah. And I'm watching this song unfold and I said, how the fuck did this pass? Like, how did someone not stop this? Because what's happening now, I want to make sure I'm very clear with the people listening. I am not saying the voice actor should have been asked to sing better. Because if you are not a vocalist, being asked to sing something well is impossible. Like, right. It's like bullying. You would not be able to do that.
Yeah.
But what they should have done is they should... Keep in mind, she's singing the song at the funeral. It's very vulnerable, and it's clearly like, you know, she's not a vocalist, right?
Well, it's like Eowyn singing at the cousin's funeral,
exactly.
Right?
So what they should have done is they should have let the voice actress sing the song on her own, no backing track, no music, let it be flawed. That's fine. But what they do is they slowly fade in this symphonic arrangement underneath her that only the player can hear. Clearly the characters can't hear that.
Right.
And it's all wrong. It's so bizarre. We are going to play the clip right now for you guys to hear, only about 30 seconds. And you'll hear what I'm talking about, where they either did not give her key information or a note to start on, or she is... I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they put in a backing track, but they should not have done this. So we're going to play it right now.
As verdant limbs wither, roots rot in the snow, still the sea rises as certain as stone.
All right, so now you've heard it. What you can't do, you cannot have an untuned, dry vocal being backed by this perfectly tuned, mixed and mastered orchestra. It just sounds terrible. Like, I've listened back to this vocal so many times, and I'm not convinced whether... Is she singing in the same key as this? Was she given tonic beforehand? Maybe... Like, some of this is in tune, most of it is not. They really set her up for failure here, and they just, they should just not have had this backing track. Please don't do this. It makes her look worse. Like, she could have done just fine, but I can't believe it was put together like this. It just sounds terrible.
So, I apologize. I think we should at least address some context of the previous scene. Varl is killed by the future humans, right? And Zoe, I believe, was she's the mother of his child,
yes,
right? So, okay. So at least we have the context there. So I feel like if you haven't played this game, this will sound completely incoherent, but there is a quest line, I believe, in this game, which I either did not play or I was not paying attention at all. Why don't you let us rip here with the choir?
Sure.
A set of
so
characters.
This is what made me laugh my ass off. We've brought this up on the show before. Like, my background, I am a professional musician. If there are any other musicians out there in the crowd, you will also find this really funny. At first I thought it was cute, but then I laughed at it. Mm-hmm. The names of the people in the choir are the solfege syllables of music. It's do, re, mi, and sort of blah, blah, blah. It's very cute. But there is this moment where you meet the other members of the choir, and Zoe says their names are fa, so, and la. And I had to stop because I had subtitles on the screen. The fifth solfege syllable is sol, S-O-L. And then in the writing and direction, they call this person so. That is wrong. That is not correct.
Well,
and
so I want to. It's weird because I feel like on one level it could be like, yes, you know, maybe things are lost to time. You know, things change over time. Words are spelled differently, but I don't think they just got it wrong.
I think it's just wrong. And so, Riley, you said this, and I think you said it very well. It was a couple of months ago. You said, it's okay if either fans of the game or fans of goddamn GameCube don't know that the fifth solfège syllable is soul and not so. That's fine. However, if you are making a video game and it is, this game had a $110 million budget.
That's absurd. You could have fed a fucking country with that money.
Dude, the writing team and the music team, they have got to get it right. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
I put this all over the internet to like my music educator friends. I said, what the fuck are they doing?
I don't even think the Do-Re-Mi thing is like, I think it's kind of childish, but
I mean, it is, but it's like, here's the thing though. But like, I guess if you're not a musician at all and you only know those solfège syllables from like The Sound of Music or whatever, you might think it's cute.
Right.
It's cute enough once, but then when you do the cute thing and it's wrong, that's to me, I'm just like, fuck this. This game is already terrible.
It's the disease of more, you know, like they gotta,
I guess the last thing I'm going to say about it is, how did no one catch this? That's what drives me crazy.
They didn't catch a lot of things.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so getting into the final act here, Aloy is rescued by one of the Far Zenith leaders, Tilda, who is voiced by Carrie Ann Moss, and invited to a very obviously villainous brunch on the veranda for some canapes before formulating a plan with her and Silence to overthrow the other future humans. It was very obvious to me that this character was not forthcoming.
Right, of course.
It was like your classic villain pitch. Aloy gains the ability to fly, as we said, and drops an EMP on Regala's army, which completely wipes it out. So maybe you should have showed up the first time.
Maybe you should have showed up with all your guys the first time.
Oops.
Oops.
So you fight her here. You can either choose to kill her or spare her so she can help you out against the Far Zenith.
And it's a video game, so you spare her.
Of course.
Right.
So how did you feel going into the end game here?
I mean, this whole time, I just wanted this game to be done. Right. So, I mean, I couldn't stand this. I mean, I'm more excited to talk about the really funny moment that happens in this final mission when you get, like, the I don't even know how to describe it, when, like, the Jeff Bezos people, like, come down out of the heavens.
Dude, don't even get me started. Okay, dude. So going to the final mission here, great example of how to fail at the Mass Effect suicide mission.
Yeah.
Despite how that panned out for everybody, you know, it's very easy to get all your squad mates through it. There was a certain tension in the air, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, they keep hanging over you, the Omega 4 relay, you know, like, oh, my God. And you care about most of your squad mates, hopefully, right? And you get you're getting ready for this attack with all your guys. I'm like, I don't even know half these fucking people's names.
I don't care. Like, what is happening?
Oh my God! Like, there's not a lot of differentiation. They're just not very memorable. And it's like, well, we gotta attack the Far Zenith here on this island. They're set up on some island somewhere.
I think it's out in San Fran or whatever.
It's out in San Fran.
Yeah,
they gotta get together with Tommy Wiseau and ride the trolley.
Yeah.
Okay. So they use Hephaestus here to unleash an army of the dinosaur robots that we all know and love to defeat Far Zenith's Promethean Knights from Halo. you know, because that's kind of, I don't, did you like those robots, those enemy robots? What do you think of those? I mean, it's, at least they're different.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I can't think of a good comparison. You're talking about those sort of elite ones that chase you at some point.
Yeah, right? Well, it's presumably like they're from the robot direction, went a different way. With
yes,
this
they look very sleek and yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. At least they were different. And Aloy gets revenge on the character Eric for killing Varl. You have a boss fight with him here. The shot, as you mentioned, I think I woke one of my roommates up because I got an angry text.
Yeah.
Dude. Because I was laughing so hard at the shot of the guys coming over the hill. They're floating down onto this Windows XP wallpaper, forever etched into my memory.
Dude, I could not. I laughed my ass off when I saw this. Like,
they're
all
floating down.
The rich Jeff Bezos.
These are the fucking villains.
Dude,
we're supposed to be scared of these people.
The rich Jeff Bezos people just float down out of the heavens. It's so odd.
You really got to see it with your own eyes.
Now,
it's insane.
This is where they jump the shark, right? You could argue it happened.
The fucking entire game jumps the shark.
Dude, but I mean, this right here. This is,
well,
like,
that was the moment where it's like, oh my, this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen as well.
Okay, so not only that, I want to talk about how, you know, you're kind of collaborating, you're split up here with your teammates, doing independent things. One of them calls you and reveals the existence of a new antagonist. who has been behind everything, and their name is Nemesis. Ugh. And I was like, oh, Storms!
Dude,
it was him the whole time.
I mean, dude, they're trying to do the Nemesis from Greek mythology thing, but it's just, yeah. If you play video games, it's just funny.
It's just Resident Evil Nemesis. No. I mean, so my real problem with this was that you're basically, it's like being told... What's a good example? Like revealing that there's somebody who's been behind it the whole time, and it's told to you in a fucking radio call.
Asshole.
Oh, I'm getting news that there's actually another antagonist to the series.
Oh my god.
It's something like you know, when you meet with Sovereign in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
Right? And you meet him in hologram form for the first time, and he reveals that he's sentient and he's been behind it all the whole time. It's fucking chilling,
right?
And this, it's like, oh, by the way, yeah,
sorry for bringing it up. I know we had tea time, and
I know we were going after the Jeff Bezos people. All right, so Nemesis is an artificial intelligence made from the top minds of Far Zenith
in collaboration with Umbrella.
And collaboration with Umbrella, it's basically their Neuralink is it takes all their consciousness, mixes it together to create you know, an artificial intelligence. Tilda reveals that Nemesis sent the signal to awaken Hades in the first place, and is going to pursue the future humans to Earth to destroy them. So it's another thing everybody has to worry about in Horizon 3. Tilda wants to abandon Earth and take Gaia to another planet to start over altogether.
Do you know what a problem I had with this Tilda character? I feel like they almost had something to go on here, where Tilda, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe she was the one who tries to side with Aloy and say, yeah, the Jeff Bezos people are bad, and I know I'm with them, but I want to help you.
Right.
She, you almost get something interesting
well,
out of
she
this
also,
game, right?
She, it, I don't know. I feel weird about the future people, because you also find out that they are they've stopped aging.
Yeah.
So they were around during Earth's downfall. Another thing, I mean, I've read that Jeff Bezos, him, the real person, is looking into like anti-aging technology and science.
Yeah.
And I could totally see that, like, just because there is a complete lack of humanity where it's like, oh, I want to live forever.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. But in terms of, okay, so she was, I believe, romantically partnered with Elizabeth. So there is that wrinkle as well.
Yes.
It's just that I didn't feel that like rekindling with Aloy, where it's like I didn't feel that. I didn't feel like she was getting the emotions back, like, oh, I'm doing this because I want Elizabeth back. I want my partner back, right? I didn't get it. I didn't get the emotions, the intended emotions there. So she is trying to steal Gaia and go off on her own. And this leads to a final boss fight with her where she's piloting a Gundam.
It's really weird.
I was going to say, you know, last time I was like, you thought that boss fight was weird.
This is really odd.
I mean, the whole fucking series is about fighting robots and all this stuff. But it felt like, I don't know, very anime, like Evangelion or something, like where she's stomping around in a mecha and trying to kill you.
I don't know. It almost feels like a BioShock thing, right? Where why is the final boss this very out there, I guess has nothing to do with the rest of the game. So I don't know.
Well, instantly, because it's, you fought like the other guy just mano a mano.
Right.
So I thought maybe, maybe for a variety they wanted it to be different, but as soon as she jumped into like, I have a robot you've never seen before.
Oh, great.
I can get in it and kick your ass. And it's like, I don't know, man. This was really like a fucking end.
Please end the game. Please end the game. Please.
Oh, dude. It's fucking bananas. So yeah, you obviously defeat her. Gaia is reactivated, and Silence decides to stay on Earth as well, help the gang for the arrival of Nemesis.
Oh god.
So
the arrival of the Reapers, huh?
Another problem I have here, there isn't even really that traditional aura of like a suspense at the end that usually, like, when you're going into the third act, like you say, the Reapers, they're on their way, they're gonna come, you know, just kind of really wanting to find out what happens next, or at least like, you know, the battle for Helm's Deep is over. The battle for Middle Earth is about to begin. You know,
right,
like
right,
anything,
right.
anything at all. It's just like, No, you know, because everything has to be a trilogy, get ready, because there's more to come.
Oh, boy. The Reapers are coming to South Carolina. What? Coming to SoCal.
South Carolina. What the fuck? Yeah, and so the story ends here, and they just announced at the Game Awards a forthcoming PS5 exclusive, thank goodness, expansion will send Aloy to Los Angeles to contend with a sinister threat.
There's just too much ass pulling in this franchise. Like
a sinister threat? I've never heard of anything like that before. Dude, have you?
I don't
what
know.
What do you think the sinister threat is?
That's a really good question. Is it going to be like another like random like monster brought up by the Jeff Bezos people? Like, is they going to uncover another one? Is it going to be like a different nemesis? I don't know.
What's the most sinister aspect of Los Angeles?
I have no idea.
The awful culture.
I don't know.
That's what she's really going to be up against.
I have no idea.
Anyway, okay, so I want to really do sort of an autopsy here.
I think, you know, I don't think you've ever used that word before on the show where we typically say final thoughts. I think autopsy on this one is a better word.
Well, so you know it's dead and you got to get in there and find out.
You got to get in
there. In the words of a genius, you got to find out what killed it or who killed it. So what went wrong with this series, man? In particular, let's talk about its approach to dialogue, storytelling, characterization, and world building. I will go and then I want you to chime in. If you have anything to add, I have a lot of thoughts. I've thought about this a lot where I'm really interested in, like, why isn't this working for me?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I feel like the dialogue commits two major crimes. There is no nuance to the tone, and a lot of it is just a massive lore dump.
Yeah.
In the words of a former guest of the show, Bill Gardner, too much information is sometimes no information. When they are going off about, oh, we get the dialogue trees are fucking insane in this game, and they're just never ending, and I don't want to hear anymore. You know, after a while, it's too much. Too much information is no information, right? This goes hand in hand with its preeminent storytelling sin, which is telling rather than showing.
Right.
Unless your writers have those Disco Elysium chops where you really know what you're doing, you really want to take full advantage of the visual nature of video games to craft your set pieces and major emotional turning points. I feel like I may remember a few details about these games later on, but in terms of like the particulars, the details of the plot, it's going to be gone tomorrow.
I mean,
we're done talking about it.
If we're going to start there.
Yeah.
I think what's, I'm trying to wrap my brain around is I felt in the first game, there was just very little characterization. Everything you go to feels very not lived in, feels very lifeless.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like the directors and writers of Forbidden West almost listened to my criticism and said, we are going to really double down on characters and the narrative and fleshing it all out, but it's all wrong.
Yeah.
And it's, I almost feel like I wish they left it more open-ended like the first one where it was unfinished or like there isn't a lot of detail.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Well, I think going on what you're saying too, I don't remember any of the faction names. Like, I don't remember why people are struggling or fighting for what they're fighting for. I don't remember. Like, and I think what also happens too, you don't really see or feel lived in the different conflicts that people are experiencing or why people are at odds with each other. They're just telling you why.
Yeah.
You don't really see it.
It's just a checklist.
It's really odd.
It's very, very bare bones.
It's another
bones
one
checklist.
Of these games, dude, where if you all just talk to each other and like understood these threats that are going to wipe everyone out, maybe you wouldn't have a conflict with each other at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Well, with respect to the characterization, please. I want to move us forward here. Kind of has that like Avengers or Mass Effect Andromeda problem where many, if not all, of the characters kind of talk like the quirky undergrads.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels very at odds with like the post-apocalyptic setting.
It just feels immature.
Well, it's, you know, when the shit goes down in a setting like Fallout or, you know, real Death Stranding, anything like everyone is like at least a little bit taking things seriously.
Doesn't it feel like I can't remember how I quite put this on Andromeda. Doesn't everyone just sound like they're either having too much fun or they're kidding? And way too frequently.
Well, especially, yeah, that game is like, you know, we're the last of humanity trying to make a new start somewhere. You should really feel the high stakes.
There should be some desperation here, right?
Yeah. And everyone is kind of like
it's odd. It's just everyone is a little bit too cheerful and kicking back.
No one is taking things seriously, so why should you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Example of contrast. Characters in the original Mass Effect trilogy, they joke around.
Yep.
A lot of good jokes in those games, but the performances and writing, they often include some level of irony, some bitterness, or even melancholy. So the tone is never like hamstrung by this. You know, we're going into the suicide mission. Garrus is joking around about his past, something like that. You know, it's like, all right, well, we got to get back to work. You know, there's always that layer of returning to the tone.
Tone
is serious. The dialogue wheel in Mass Effect also a lot more elegant, and it rarely feels like a conversation is going on for too long. They're very efficient compared to this game with your time. Something we talked about in the Disco Elysium episode, rewarding the player for paying attention with little jokes here and there, which also taught you more about the world and the way people behaved in it. An important part of that philosophy is that the jokes are funny.
The writing has to be good to be good at all.
I don't know. Did you laugh at anything in this game?
No.
I don't think I did either.
No.
I don't remember any good jokes.
Nope.
Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here. Why do all the names sound stupid?
I hope you're going to answer this because I don't know.
Well, so here's my take, all right? This is what I call the Gears of War problem, right? Where, so interesting, why does every location in Gears of War sound fake? The Jacinto Plateau, it just doesn't feel real, right? Fictional languages that have succeeded, like Elvish, Lord of the Rings, George R. R. Martin doing, you know, Dothraki and Valyrian in that universe, or Star Trek, Mark Ockrand developed Klingon. Mm-hmm. They were made by actual linguists, which is why they feel so authentic. I'm not saying that you need to hire a linguist for this kind of stuff. Another weird thing about the names are that they're the only things that differ from standard language in these games. Other all dialogue is normal.
Is in modern English.
There are no unique words. There's not really even any like slang that I can remember.
That's like a really, I didn't even think about that until you brought it up. Now,
nothing else
can
has
I hit
changed.
You with a theory?
Yeah.
Do you think this game would have been more successful if they took all their names from like American culture or pop culture?
Well, even like you look at like Game of Thrones, a lot of the names are normal. They're just spelled weird.
Yeah.
Like that would have been fine with that. I don't know. That would have been kind of interesting, right? But in terms of like shorthand, there's not a lot of, that's kind of like ready-made world building. Like in Death Stranding, I have a couple early points of comparison. You know, they throw around these phrases like going necro and there's going to be a void out, and they just throw it at you, and it's like, okay, so that makes the characters feel like they're not really explaining things for our benefit.
Because like characters would know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So it feels realistic. I don't know, man. It's not my shit. Very the antithesis of my shit. Yeah. Okay, so I am going to give this game a C-. How do you feel, sir?
All right, so this is where we're at this point in the autopsy, huh?
I think so.
I am tempted to give this game a D.
Okay.
Like I'm right there. I think C- is fair. Let me try to lay it all out here.
Yeah.
Here's why I feel this guilt pang like in my chest about giving this game a D. It's a big production. It's clear that they tried. Like this is, I'm serious.
Some of the team.
No. here's why this game is so like offensive and heinous to me.
Yeah.
They put a lot of work in. It took years to make, and I feel so bad for the you know, your normal salaried employees having to program this shit.
Yeah.
Like having to code this garbage.
It, on the surface, it looks pretty.
Like, right. Well, let's lay this down. Okay. I said this in a messenger chat as well. I think the narrative direction, the character direction, the quest writing is so heinous and so bad. I am I don't enjoy like the combat, which is like decent. It's fine. Like there are some aspects to the gameplay loop when you get going. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember like why I liked the first one. You know, you're fucking slinging bombs at these machine creatures. You're rolling around. When it starts cooking, it's okay. But I am so put off by these upper level issues in this game where I find the whole experience to be a waste of my time.
Well, you know, and hand in hand with that, I feel like myself. I've been in the Sirius Galaxy for the last several years because these games are getting insanely high reviews, and I'm like, what am I missing here? Am I playing a different game?
Right,
like, what's happening?
Here's what I really try not to do on goddamn GameCube. I really try not to use the words overrated, underrated, that sort of thing.
Right.
I really try not to complain about reviews. Don't complain about the officiating. You know?
That matters is what we're saying.
No. What I mean by that is it's rare for me to bring this up, but how is this game like a 93? Or whatever, what is it on Metacritic right now?
It's either high 80s or low 90s.
It's up there. And how is it that so many people think this game is in the upper echelon of games, but this is the worst game I played in 2022?
Yes.
It's one of them.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, and I...
And it's really, you know, we didn't talk about it in the last one, but I feel like somewhat like commercially cursed where, you know, the first game did well, but it was very overshadowed by Breath of the Wild at the time.
Yes.
And this one was very overshadowed by Elden Ring.
Good.
So it's like,
good.
It's
fuck
really,
you.
Exactly.
But dude, I mean, we have our problems with Elden Ring. Our review is very long and we took our shots at that game.
But compared to these games,
dude,
it's,
I mean,
it's fucking
something that I think is hilarious. I never do this, but this internet feud about people supporting Horizon over Elden Ring because Elden Ring is too obtuse.
Well, there was, I believe, a developer who worked on Horizon who said that that Elden Ring should have more of those like quest markers or like
dude,
compass or something like that.
That guy does not get it.
No,
I just, when you look at, you know, Horizon and how many things are on
the HUD. I think
there's
a little bit of jealousy there.
I think so, of course. I don't want to go on about this too long. I feel like we've been very thorough. Okay, this game is a D.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a D.
He's committing.
You gave it a C-.
Well, yeah, well I think because I was hesitant to give it a D myself because I gave Deadly Premonition 2 a D. I think it's a little bit better than that, but you gave that game an F, so I think it's in line.
I think the reason why this game is a D for me, not only did I find everything they did at a high level to be heinous, I am very angry that the problems with the first game are not addressed.
Right.
So I can't. Like, how is Spear Combat still this bad? Like, how are the animations still broken?
You were very more positive of the combat than I think I was, because I feel like there's fundamental issues with having your primary weapon be a bow and all the robots are right in your face. I don't know. It's weird.
I guess I leave this episode with a head scratcher. I don't dislike the first game, but I absolutely despise this one.
So with that said,
yes.
Greg, you've highly encouraged me to play the first game. Are you going to make us cover Horizon 3 when it comes out?
I am afraid that we've come so far where we have to.
That's the sunk cost fallacy, man. I don't know. Yeah, we may have to.
I really don't want to.
Yeah. Well, see you in 5 years for that one.
Yeah, of course. Now, are you wrapped on Forbidden West?
I'm wrung out, man.
Yeah.
I'm done. Thank God we don't have to devote any more mental resources into this series.
Yeah, of course. And the last rant I'm going to have about this game before we sign off, I can't believe they had multiple musical numbers in this, like in the first 90 minutes. And oh my God, you don't even go to the Forbidden West. They just bring you there, dude. Like, the title card is unearned. The intro is so fucking bad, man. Like, I can't talk about this anymore. I'm putting a pin in this. We're done. I'm calling it. The autopsy has been performed.
I hope it's to everyone's satisfaction.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's going to do it. Neither of us like this game. We do not recommend it. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next time.